Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I just think tomorrow is going to be fun, right? The rivalries between the Miami and FIU fans. A lot of these players were playing together or, you know, opposition in high school. A lot of South Florida kids. Just hopefully, you know, nothing like 2006 ends up erupting. But I doubt it, right? I have a hard time believing with Mark Richt and Butch Davis that you're going to see any kind of a brawl tomorrow. But I just think the talking points are going to be fun. You better believe I'm going to be trolling the FIU fans a little bit tomorrow. I was trolling Toledo last week. We go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, bring on Christy Chirinos from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Christy, first of all, how are you this evening? Are you ready for an all South Florida affair tomorrow, Miami and FIU?
I know. It's like, you know, they're 8 miles apart, Coral Gables, Miami. You know, it's like you said, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be really exciting. And but I would just advise you, as always, you know, to maybe save the trolling until a little bit later. A little bit later in the game, maybe.
Yeah, I was going hard during. I was going so hard during the first half of the Toledo game, and thankfully Miami stayed with a hefty lead in that game, Christy.
Yeah, but there was a little nervousness there when they pulled within seven, you know, and what have you. So, you know, listen, it's a lot of fun. It should be, like you said, a lot of fun. And you know, let's get this going. And then before we know it, it'll be time for Miami to really turn its focus to ACC play next Thursday. So this is one chance to get out there and have a little bit of fun tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, I've noticed over the last couple of weeks, Malik Rozier, he's been responding to some, you know, haters on Twitter. You know, he did the shushing gesture last week, and then he said that wasn't just for Toledo's fans, it's also for Miami's fans. Yeah, I get it that on the one hand you can say you like to have a quarterback with a little bit of an attitude, but Christy, is he kind of on a slippery slope here where you're going after some of your own fans a little bit? Because I would imagine that he's putting himself at risk where if he does struggle in upcoming home games, the boos might only get louder.
Well, I see that, obviously, but I can't blame the guy for wanting to stick up for himself. And, you know, listen, I know that he hasn't had the greatest completion percentage. And, you know, fans last week were being critical even of his, you know, 5-touchdown performance. But these are kids, and you know, it's rough to get booed in your own stadium.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe he does have that chip on his shoulder. It's not the best idea, but again, you know, DJ Dallas was pretty vehement in defending him last week and telling Miami fans to stop it. So, you know, it's a fine line, I think, for everybody involved, fans, for Malik, for the other players. You know, and the thing that will just make it all go away is some winning and some good play and things like that. And so, you know, I think nobody wants to do that more than Malik himself. So, you know, hopefully tomorrow, if that's, you know, if he really wants to silence the critics, that's what he's got to do, is get out there, you know, throw some nice balls, put them where they need to be for his receivers, let Jeff Thomas and company do the work, and then just, you know, it will stop. It will stop if he plays better.
Yeah, I'm so with you on that. And listen, I know that if I try and say something positive, I'm going to get a bunch of texts about, oh, well, Toledo doesn't have a good defense. Like, to me, that doesn't matter for this conversation where I thought, confidence-wise and getting rid of the football quickly, and he did have a clean pocket a lot of the time against Toledo, which obviously made him look better out there. But to what you're saying, Rozier had a good, or Rozier, excuse me, I could say his name five different ways in one segment. He had a really good game against Toledo. That's the best he's played probably since the Notre Dame game of last year. So, I mean, to me, do you think he can build on that confidence, and could that be the beginning of a beautiful finish to this season, Christy, or do you think he might regress?
No, you would hope that this is what he does. I mean, he did what he was supposed to do against Savannah State. He did what he was supposed to do against Toledo. Now let's see if he can do what he's supposed to do against FIU. And then, you know, that's just the thing. Confidence and momentum are things that build. They're things you can take, you know, so If he continues to play like that, you know, that'll be huge. And I do think it's important that, you know, as much as Miami fans want to see N'Kosi Perry or Cade Weldon or Jaren Williams get out there, Miami's coaches have said, no, Malik is the guy. Until he shows us he isn't, he is the guy. And that they've given him that vote of confidence. And, you know, they said before the season, listen, this is why we are naming him the starter. We want him to be confident. We want him to know he is the person we have our faith in. So all of those things can help him. All he has to do is just, you know, like we said, put it together, get everything rolling, and hopefully, you know, that four-game streak of his, you know, the end of last season and the LSU game, he can put that really behind him. I know that that's obviously what he wants and is what Miami would like as well.
You know, Miami's receiving core has been really good despite this guy not being in there, but do we have any idea how close Amon Richards might be to a return?
A knee contusion, which is what we're dealing with, a bone bruise, those can be tricky. It's like a hamstring that they can nag, they can be painful. You know, and if you are in a situation like Miami has been where they feel, you know, maybe they feel like, let's let these guys get completely healthy. Let's let Amon get completely healthy before the start of conference play. Why not do it? You know, Jeff Thomas has been playing lights out. Lawrence Cager is starting to step up. You know, if you don't need to risk it, maybe the best thing to do is just let him take care of himself. So I'd be curious to see, you know, how much he practices this week leading up to North Carolina. I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, they start to, like I said, the season gets real now that we're moving into ACC play, more real than you know, it has been to this point. So maybe we will start to see him and have him work in and we'll just, you know, we'll see. But at this point, everybody's been day to day with his status, and that's where we're at.
And on defense, no Jaquan Johnson in this game, Christy, so I'm hoping that this is the Amari Carter game. I'm hoping he steps up and has a huge performance. Do you think he's ready for a big game tomorrow?
Well, Manny Diaz says he's ready for it, and that's usually good enough for me because I think that, you know, nobody does that defense as well as he does. And Amari wasn't available last week. He was dealing with a death in the family, so Miami's secondary really was hurting. You know, that safety group really was hurting without Jaquan, without Amari. They have every expectation that he will be able to get out there, that he will be able to hold his own. We've seen him deliver a couple big hits when he has been out there. So this is going to be his chance to shine. It is that whole next man up mentality, and that's what they've been working with. And I thought it was interesting how Manny Diaz said, listen, we don't need you to go out there, Amari, and be Jaquan Johnson. Don't put on the superhero cape. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Who you are is good enough, and we believe that you can do this. So go out there and just be you, be Amari. Be confident in who you are, and you know, we'll give you all the support that we can to do that. So, you know, hopefully that will be what we see tomorrow, because, you know, once Jaquan left the game last week, you saw it change a little bit. You saw, you know, the Toledo passing game got a little better. The quarterback was able to run, and that opened some things up. But if Amari's able to kind of neutralize that, that'll be a big help tomorrow against FIU.
You think there's anything FIU does on offense or defense that should put some fear into Miami that could be a matchup issue?
I don't.
No, you know, and that's fair. You're probably right about that.
You know, listen, they're coming off one of their better performances in program history. I mean, they scored 63 points in their win against UMass. That tied a school record that they set against UMass, but it's UMass we're talking about.
Yeah, their version of Savannah State, where like you know, Miami,
right,
two games in a row, you set your personal scoring record against Savannah State. FIU with UMass,
right,
Same thing.
Right, and Butch Davis, I did go out there yesterday and talk to him for a little bit, and he said, listen, we played 20-something guys for the first time 2 weeks ago against Indiana, and you're hoping that we're getting better, and we're hoping that, you know, with every game we're learning more about who we are, but they lost a lot at a bunch of skill positions, and Miami has the experience. Miami has, you know, the athletes. So what I do know is that, you know, FIU has speed. They've got some defensive tackles that, you know, that might be able to push Miami's line a little bit, but I don't think it'll be sustained. I don't think that it'll be, you know, a consistent thing. But again, we're talking about a game where two schools are 8 miles apart. There's probably a lot of kids on that FIU roster that maybe were hoping to play at Miami or were hoping to be recruited by Miami, and they're going to want to prove themselves and show what they can do. So, you know, again, that rivalry aspect always adds a little something to it. Maybe they're, you know, turned up and they deliver some plays. But, you know, this is a game where just across the board, Miami is the stronger program, and you just you see it in the line. They opened up as 28-point favorites. It's 26.5 now. I don't see any reason to question the people who do that, especially since, you know, most of the time they're pretty accurate.
We're talking with Christy Chirinos from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, and yeah, of course, the Butch Davis storyline, it's rich. I mean, not only, you know, did he coach at Miami, was the architect of the team that went on to win the 2001 national championship, but Christy, a couple of years ago, he was very open about it. He wanted that job. He wanted the job that Mark Richt currently has. So how significant do you think this game is for Butch?
I thought it was interesting how he was he tried to downplay a lot of things when I spoke to him, and you know, very coach speak, very neutral. He's not going to give anybody any bulletin board material. But yes, is this a game that I'm sure he would love to show the Miami administration? Look what you could have had, maybe. It's only natural. He did want that job, and ultimately Miami settled on Mark Richt, and you know, Blake James felt very happy about that decision. And you know, we've seen progress from year one, year two, and we're now in year three under Richt. And you know, we'll see how things develop, but without a doubt, that has to feel strange for Butch Davis, not only just playing Miami and looking across the field at Miami, but knowing that those players on the other sideline, you wanted to be coaching them, you wanted to be recruiting them. So I'm sure it'll be a pretty interesting night for him and a pretty interesting night for his players and, you know, for all of us that get to watch. There are so many storylines with this game that are worth watching.
It's going to be a weird night for Ken Dorsey also. I mean, I always see him around. He's wearing those blue and gold ties. Christy, just between you and me, I know he wants to have orange and green on, but, you know, Dorsey is a company man.
Yes, he, you know, and listen, I saw an interesting theory, and I haven't had too much time to research it, I'll be honest, about, you know, his buyout with Carolina. You know, there may have been some language in it that said he couldn't coach, and he's not coaching right now.
Yeah.
He is an athletic director over at FIU, or maybe he has just decided this is the new track I want to take in my career. This is something new I want to try. You know, he was very, we saw him at the UM Sports Hall of Fame inductions earlier this year, and it was just, I think, maybe a month or so after he'd been hired at FIU. And he said, yeah, it'll be pretty weird. But, you know, he was excited about this challenge, about being an administrator, about learning everything that goes on in a program to, you know, between raising funds and being the face of the program and helping with all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes sometimes that we don't see in an athletic department. So, you know, but absolutely, it's got to be strange, right? And I did talk to some people at FIU that have Miami ties, and they've all said, listen, we root for Miami every other Saturday, you know, except for this one. And, you know, that I thought that was pretty interesting. There's way too many people over there that do have deep connections with the Miami program and do want the best for Miami, except tomorrow. Tomorrow they would like, you know, blue and gold or navy and gold to come out on top over orange and green. But, you know, for the most part, there's so much, I think, mutual respect that's what I, you know, why I think it's going to translate on the field. And I don't expect, and fingers crossed, we don't see anything like we did in 2006. But
yeah,
you know, they're two different programs in two different places, and it should just be a fun night for South Florida football. That's what we're all hoping it'll be.
Do you have a prediction or a feeling on how the game is going to end? And do you have advice for me on at what point? Is it third quarter, fourth quarter, when I can start releasing my trolling tweets?
I would say maybe late third, early fourth. You know, kind of gauge it there. You scared me with that broken glass bowl last week. I was like, "That's really good."
I couldn't wait.
But it's a little. It's still early. God, it was still early. You know, but I think probably late third quarter, early fourth. I have a feeling you'll be safe if you want to sneak a couple of those tweets out there and just do what you do. You know, this should go Miami's way, and again, they should pick up another W. They should roll on into, you know, North Carolina on a 3-game win streak. And then, you know, the question is, for me, can we stop with the injuries? You know,
it's
been a tough...
Oh, yeah, we hadn't even talked about Pelendi. Like, how concerned should I be now about tight end depth?
Tight end depth is that's where the concern is. But let's face it, he did not play that many snaps. It was not, you know... Brevin Jordan and Will Mallory are the future of this position, and they were getting the majority of the reps. They're going to continue to get the majority of the reps. They're the ones that Miami is developing. But Brian Pelendi was depth. He was help in that, and now you don't have that. So At this point, Miami doesn't have any plans to move anybody over to tight end. They think Brevin and Will can handle the job. So we'll see moving forward how that goes. I'm sure that's going to be a position that they really attack in the recruiting cycle this year. It's Pelendi, it's Jaquan, it's Amon, it's Michael Irvin, and then Jaren Williams was out of practice yesterday and Wednesday was dealing with that abdominal strain that was bothering him in camp. It kind of flared up again. So you really want just to make sure everybody gets out of this as healthy as humanly possible, because, like we said, North Carolina, Florida State, Virginia, Boston College, all of that is still, ahead. Virginia Tech in November, obviously. So you want to make sure you get through this stretch as healthy as possible, because now is when they're really going to move into the heart of the schedule and the heart of competing for the Coastal Division crown again.
Well, great stuff here, as always, from Christy Chirinos. You want to check out her work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel, sunsentinel.com, and on Twitter at Christy Chirinos. Thank you so much, and enjoy the game tomorrow. I'll see you at the stadium.
You got it. You too, Dono. Have a good one.
Yeah, and listen, I appreciate her advice on the tweets, but my friends, it's in one ear, out the other. Right? As soon as that game kicks off, I'm going to be tweeting about the safety school. As soon as that game kicks off, I'm going to be tweeting about how much Butch Davis wishes he was on the Miami sideline and how much Ken Dorsey wishes he was in the box with other Miami people. It's inevitable. I cannot control myself. I think, Hector, part of me actually wants to end up on Freezing Cold Takes. That Twitter account that I've made it a half a dozen times. And the most annoying thing about it is I think they have like a web archive. So sometimes people will retweet something that some stupid thing I said from like 2014. And it lives forever, man. It's a really tough life that I live. Coming up next, really interesting stat here brought to life by Barry Jackson, the Miami Herald, on what Albert Wilson does better than any other receiver in the NFL. How about them Dolphins? The Alex Donner Show continues.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.